Okay, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. We're in Parshas B'chukosai, and in today's shiur, we're going to talk about Tamei HaMitzvos, about the reasons for the mitzvos, and in a very particular way, the value and the importance of trying to understand the mitzvos, and we'll talk about the mitzvos of Tznius and Shmiras Ha'inayim in particular, and why it's not just important to comply, but it's important to understand as you comply. And so let's take a look at the first pasuk in this week's parsha, which it's a complicated construct which Chazal react to with many, many drushes, and Mefarshim have many, many drushes on top of that. In fact, if you look in the Orach Chaim, he has something like 40 different pshatim in this pasuk. The pasuk says, "In bechukosai teilechu, if you will walk in my rules and my statutes, ves mitzvosai tishmaru, and you will watch and keep, guard my mitzvos, va'asisam hosam, and you'll do them." Tremendous amount of redundancy there, walking in the laws, guarding the mitzvahs, doing them. It's very, very complicated. So Chazal have their drushes. The famous one that we all learned as little kids from Rashi is that you have to be on Melim B'Torah, that Chukosai Teilechu doesn't mean doing the mitzvahs. It means you have to be very involved in working hard in Torah. There's different drushes. Now, the Orach Chaim, as I said, has about 40 different pshatim in this pasuk, but one of the pshatim he gives is of relevance to us. And he says that he raises an issue, and he says this is a given, which people don't hear too much. He says as follows, Ikra mitzvos v'to'al yosam, the main part of mitzvahs and their purpose. Einu ela lamisha de'a ikran v'tamon. They're really only for somebody who knows their main purpose and their reason. Aval asiyas mitzvah below yadiyas tam. Someone who does a mitzvah without knowing its reason. Harehu osa maisa she'ein boi mamish. He is doing an act that has nothing substantive in it. Keguf b'lo neshama, like a body without a soul, a corpse. V'timsa shekein kosu v'shem harav ha'arizal, and so too they wrote in the name of the Arizal. Ki maisa b'lo kavanas hadavar, doing a mitzvah without the intention, and here they're not referring to intention like having kavanah to do a mitzvah, because that's a discussion in the Gemara, Mitzvah Shtrichas Kavana or Lo Shtrichas Kavana. They're talking about the intention, meaning the real purpose of the mitzvah, and in some way allowing the real purpose of the mitzvah to affect and connect with the person. And someone who does a mitzvah without understanding the real purpose of the mitzvah, hu kekli rik, it's like an empty vessel, because the main function of the mitzvah is the thought. The main function of the mitzvah is the thought. So doing a mitzvah without really understanding its function is like holding an empty vessel. It looks interesting, but there's nothing inside. And not everybody agrees with this. That's a very powerful statement. So he says, and he says in the name of the Arizal, he says that the main purpose and value of the mitzvahs is to understand them, and then when you perform them, there has to be an understanding of this function, of this purpose, of what it's doing, and without that, it's not very useful. Now, he says, notwithstanding that, there's a consolation prize. And that's how he learns Shat in this pasuk. He says that if you im b'chukosai seilechu, that if you walk in the statutes, meaning that you don't understand the mitzvahs fully, but you're willing to walk in those mitzvahs and open yourself up to what Hashem wants from you, so it'll be considered as if, as mitzvah sai tishmaru, it'll be considered as if you did the mitzvah fully, even without the right kavanas. That's what he goes on to say over here. He says that if a person does a mitzvah with this intention, that Hashem made a chok, and he doesn't really understand it, but he's doing it with the will to do it because Hashem wanted it. It'll be considered as if you did the mitzvah. It'll be considered as if you did the mitzvah. So, and you did the mitzvah with the proper kavana. And he goes on to say, so that's what the pshat in this pasuk is trying to give people chizuk, that even though you don't understand the mitzvahs, and even though in principle the real way to do the mitzvah and the proper way to do the mitzvah is to do it with an understanding of it, if you don't and you do it with the intention that it's a chok and you want to fulfill Hashem's will, it'll be considered as such. So we have to understand that while that's essentially true, because there's many mitzvahs that we don't understand and we can't understand, and that's a real problem, we will do the best that we can. However, it's very important still to realize that that's like the consolation prize. That's only secondary, and it's a tremendous responsibility on us, and it's incumbent upon us to really, truly understand what we're doing, to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs. And we're not talking about only the mishpatim. We're talking about the chukim too. So, for example, and I've said this before at other times, the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Tmura, Perek Dawud, Halacha Yad Gimel, he says that Af al pi shekol chukei Torah gzeros, even though all the rules of the Torah are really gzeros, roy lizbonon behen. You have to think about them, and to whatever degree you can give a reason to them, you have to give a reason to them. And he goes on to say, and this is important because this relates to our discussion about Shmir Seinayim and our discussion about other matters of Tznius. He says, Rov Dine HaTorah, most of the rules of the Torah, Einon Ela Eitzes Meirachok, they are only ideas, suggestions from afar, meaning that they are indirect efforts, l'saken hadeos v'liyasher kol amasim, to repair, to correct people's attitudes, and to straighten, and that their actions should be just. So he's saying, the Rambam's telling you that we have to try to understand the mitzvahs, all of them, and that he's giving you a hint, and he's telling you that b'derech klal, all the mitzvahs, most of the mitzvahs, I should say, are a way to, in some way, correct attitudes. So that's an internal emotional process to correct attitudes, and also to create more positive actions, better behavior, as it were. So when we do mitzvahs, we really have to try to let the mitzvahs affect us. The mitzvahs can't affect us. They cannot correct our attitudes. They cannot help us change our behavior merely by doing them. It might help a bit, but also by understanding them. For example, if I do a mitzvah of tzedakah, and let us presume, I don't think you have to be the greatest mystic to understand that the mitzvah of tzedakah is there to teach us kindness, to teach us humility, to teach us empathy, right? So if I see a poor person and I give him $10, if I do it because I just want to give him $10, and I don't do it because I'm trying to arouse in myself a sense of compassion, a sense of mercy, a recognition that money that's given to me is really only entrusted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not really my own money, right? If I don't do all those things, then how much of an effect on my attitudes and my behavior is giving tzedakah going to have? How much effect can it really have, right? You know, maybe it's better than not giving tzedakah because you're doing something that's ultimately still a kindness, but if you're giving it to him as a gift and you're not doing it because you say to yourself, oh, the Torah wants us not to be attached to money. The Torah wants us to care about other people's suffering. The Torah wants us to care about social justice, that there shouldn't be an underclass of people that are completely, you know, downtrodden and left with no help. Right? All those things, if you don't go into that mitzvah, giving tzedakah with that intention, then you're really getting very little out of the mitzvah. And sometimes, I must confess, I'm holding by sukkahs, and I've got a lulav and esrog in my hand, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I really doing? And I feel in some way like, imagine an aborigine from Australia who, you know, has never been exposed to the outside world, and you hand him a cell phone, and he sees all the interesting lights and all the details like that, and he thinks it's really a very clever device. I mean, he has no idea at all what he's holding in his hands. A lot of times when we do certain mitzvahs, I feel like an aborigine who's holding a cell phone. I'm taking this little of an esrog and I'm shaking it, and I have no idea what I'm doing, really. Right? The Torah tells us that it's a mitzvah, and so there's something very important that's going on over here, and somehow or another, it's supposed to, as the Rambam might say, it's supposed to correct attitudes and influence behavior. I'm shaking some leaves and fruit around. So we have to understand that it is a big, big piece of work over here to allow ourselves to understand the mitzvah and allow the understanding to affect us. This is very, very powerful. The Rambam in his Pirush Mishnayos in the end of Makos learns a very famous saying quite differently from the way we're used to. And the way he says it, it's really, again, something that is profound, absolutely profound. And I have mentioned this Rambam before. The Mishnah is the one that we're all very familiar with in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tazayin. Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha Omer, Rota Kosh Baruch Lozakos Es Yisrael, Lefichach Hirbu Lahem Torah Mitzvahs. So Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha says that Hashem wanted to give the Jews the chusim, and that's why he gave them a lot of mitzvahs. Pasha Pshat is that more mitzvahs means more sachar. So Hashem gave the Jews a lot of mitzvahs so they can have a lot of chusim. Sounds good. Not the way the Rambam learns. The Rambam says something profound and frightening. The Rambam says that Miyisodes Hamuna Batara, one of the basic foundations of the Torah, she'im kiyam ha'adam mitzvah mishloshesrei v'sheish mios mitzvahs, if someone did one of the 613 mitzvahs k'roi u'k'hogan, as is supposed to be done and as is fitting, and listen to this, v'lo shatef imo matara mimatros olam v'zeh klal, and he did not include in the mitzvah any other ulterior motive. So he did the mitzvah fully and properly. Ela aso lishmo me'avo. He did it for its sake. What does it mean, for its sake? It means understanding the true value and purpose of the mitzvah. He did it for its sake, me'avo, with love. That is because he wants to do it to please Hashem. But the first one is not the classic lishma. Usually you learn lishma means you're doing it for a mitzvah. You're doing it l'shem mitzvah. You're doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Rambam says two things. He says l'shma and me'ava. So me'ava means you're doing it because you're loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But l'shma here means that you do the mitzvah understanding what it's really for, with the intent of accomplishing what it's really for. So you do the mitzvah, and if you do that once in your life, is what the Rambam says, once in your life, if you do one of the 613 mitzvahs properly with the right intention, lishma and me'ava, harei huzocha l'chayim haba, then he will merit the world to come. And he says, this is what Rav Chinoni ben Akasha is really saying, that he's saying, because since Hashem gave us so many mitzvahs, he says that it will be impossible, e'efsher, sh'liyasa adam achas, b'chol yimei chayav, b'shleimus, b'yizkel asheros nafsha bosa maisa. It'll be impossible that one time in a yid's life, he wouldn't at least do one mitzvah properly. It's like the saying that a broken clock is right at least twice a day, right? Of course, today is not a digital clock, so niskat no hadaras. So we don't even have a broken clock that's right twice a day. But in the old days, an analog clock is going to be right twice a day. The Rambam is saying here, you've got 613 mitzvahs in a whole lifetime, and in order to be zochel olam haba, you got to do one mitzvah totally properly. You figure with 613 mitzvahs, it's rather unlikely that at least one time by accident, this poor guy shouldn't stumble upon doing the mitzvah properly. So, this brings me to my point, which is that we have a lot of requirements around moderating and managing our sexual desires. We have some rather severe restrictions that are incumbent upon all of us, and are quite frankly very difficult to do. So we do it. We're loyal Jews, and we really try to do our best to follow these prescriptions. The piece that I want to help everybody here become aware of is that while it's commendable, very commendable, to work hard to keep these mitzvahs, right? A mitzvah losa says a mitzvah too. Every time you're in a position where you feel in some way a desire or arousal to commit a losa say, and you hold back, so you, that's how you're mekayim that mitzvah. You're mekayim that mitzvah. It's not a passive act. It takes an act of will to do that, and therefore it's considered a mitzvah. Now, we're doing this all the time. We're struggling all the time. And it is commendable to manage the struggle. However, what I want people to understand is that based on what we're seeing over here, it is just scratching the surface to maintain compliance. Compliance is just scratching the surface. The real issue is what the Rambam says, which is l'sakein hadeos l'yasher hamasim, to correct incorrect attitudes, and to have just actions, to have proper actions. So when we're involved in this requirement that we have to moderate our sexual desires, and we have to practice a constant vigilance, it's not just about compliance. There's something inside us that is supposed to be effective. There's some way that these restrictions are not here just as in the Zion. But these restrictions are here in some way to affect us and to correct us. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that, right? Because we should try to understand. So I thought about it, and of course there could be many, many, many reasons for any mitzvah, but I wanted to share with you some thoughts I had about some of the reasons. Number one, it's extremely important to learn how, it's extremely important to learn how to delay gratification. It's an important requirement for all human beings. We really can't function properly without being able to delay gratification. And so, the greater the desire, the more valuable it is in some way to learn how to manage it. That doesn't mean to abstain forever, but it means to employ some kind of system of managing it, because that actually builds a person. There's a famous Stanford marshmallow experiment, which has been duplicated over many years, but the original experiment was in the 70s, led by a psychologist, Walter Mischel. And basically what happened was they would give a child a choice between a small reward, like a marshmallow, which would be given immediately, or two rewards if they waited until the tester returned, which is about 15 minutes. So they'd put a marshmallow in front of the kid, And they'd give them a choice. You know, you can, you if you don't eat this marshmallow now, when I come back, you'll get two marshmallows. And some kids were able to hold out. Some kids did not hold out. And what they discovered was when they followed up on these children 15, 20 years later, they discovered something amazing, that the children that were able to wait, so we're talking about preschoolers here, these kids were 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, the children that were able to wait the 15 minutes and got the two marshmallows, when the researcher came back, they tended to have significantly better life outcomes. They had lower disease. They weren't overweight. They got higher SAT scores. They attained a higher level of education. So already the die is cast at 4 years old. And the key feature for success in life, apparently, is delay of gratification. So this is no small thing, having respect for the ability to delay gratification. So when you're doing this mitzvah, you have to think to yourself, if this is correct, you know, that I can't be an authority to tell you that this is the reason for the mitzvah. You have to, the Rambam says, everybody has to think. Everybody has to think for themselves, what is the purpose? In fact, sometimes I wonder, it could be that a mitzvah might have a different purpose for different people. Maybe for one person, a mitzvah means one thing, and for another person, a mitzvah means something else. Like HaKadosh Baruch was perfectly capable of creating mitzvahs that mean different things to different people. But anyway, that's important, right? So you're holding back. You can ask yourself, well, what is this supposed to do for me? How is this supposed to help me as a person? Another issue is, another reason is that when you reflect upon pleasure in general, actually all pleasures are enhanced by delay. And, you know, quite the contrary, the gratification of pleasures oftentimes leads to a failure to enjoy the pleasure. So there's a tolerance. It makes a difference what it is, food, drugs, sex. The more that you do it, in point of fact, the actual less pleasure you get. And people that look at porn, you know, oftentimes they have to keep raising the bar and looking at more and more stimulating images and actually more and more perverse images just to become aroused, because they've created a level of desensitization and overload that they have to keep looking. And that's also why it becomes a slippery slope, that for a lot of people, they're not able to contain it within just porn. It ends up extending into other activities and all kinds of affairs. So, but on the other hand, right, sexual pleasure is enhanced with delay. Maim genuvim yimtaku, the fact that one can't have access to something, you know, makes it more sweet. The Gemara Nida and Lamed Aleph on the Beis brings the famous saying that, why does the Torah make a woman to a Nida? Because a husband begins to be disgusted with his wife. He gets tired of her. Familiarity breeds contempt. And every time they have to abstain, and then they're reunited, right? So it's Kadesh Shehei Chaviva Al Ba'ala Keshas Knisos L'Chupa. So she will be beloved to her husband like the day that she entered the chuppah. Now, there's a lot more to say about that. That's another shmuz. Actually, mikvah night is a real another shmuz. But I will tell you that there's something to that. So to most enjoy the pleasures of life, we actually need to moderate. Even if you want to eat a good meal, if you eat less and you eat slowly, you're going to enjoy it a lot more than if you eat fast and you eat too much. Number three, sexual pleasure properly shared enhances shalom bias. Gemara in Shabbos and Kufnun Beis and Aleph refers to the male organ as the mesim shalom, as the peacemaker. There's something about this. There's something about sharing pleasure together that creates a bond and a connection that helps cement a marriage. Now, it's sometimes endless and impossible, the gaps between men and women. Sometimes it's so beyond frustrating what it takes for a man and woman to live together. And when one when one removes the incentive of sexual gratification, if one is diverting their sexual needs into any other venue other than the relationship, they've created a disincentive for encountering and working with the other. And the truth is that if one channels the sexual urges within the relationship and works hard and tirelessly to develop and increase the bond, then, you know, greater shalom bias comes out of it. And of course, it's very, very important in order to create a stable and happy home and a place for children. And that's why my last thought is, you know, even if you're single, and of course, there are plenty of challenges of being single. The reality is that the correct way to prepare for marriage and one of the essential skills in marriage is to be able to delay gratification and to be able to learn ways to calm yourself and manage your emotions. It's almost impossible to survive in a relationship without those two abilities, the ability to delay gratification and the ability to calm yourself and manage your emotions. So even when you're really frustrated and you're really angry and you really feel outraged, you have to find ways to manage that. And certainly after marriage comes children. Certainly to be an effective and compassionate and respectable parent, you have to have tremendous patience and tremendous ability to stay calm. So, you know, these skills, there's no shortcut. There's no pain, no gain. The ability to moderate and manage the very strong sexual urge is of tremendous constructive value. And the upshot is that while we struggle with compliance, which is extremely hard, no question about it, that the desire is very strong, and we have to constantly reinforce the fact that there's prohibitions and contain ourselves within those prohibitions, I'm cautioning and encouraging everybody that don't just focus on the fact that it's forbidden. Try to focus on the meaning and allow yourself to fulfill the mitzvah with an understanding of the mitzvah so that the impact that it has on you is more powerful and more strong, and it shapes you. Because as I gave the example of giving the tzedakah, you can give anybody tzedakah. You can give anybody money. But if you give them tzedakah with the intention of recognizing that the money comes from Hashem and recognizing you have to care for other people, this arouses compassion. This develops character. All right, everybody, hold on. Let me shut off the recording.